WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is PC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer... Sir Rocket,
my little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available and you like to use it here, we'll just click that purple button right above the screen and feel free to use it here. But if you want to use it elsewhere too, that's all right. We don't mind, even though we really want you to use it here. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sorokin.
Hey, we're here. We're live. It's The Rack. Rack Radio Show. On the Twitters, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward. You can come to twitch.tv/WTLive, wildtalkradio.com, or recradioshow.com to listen. Because we got stuff to do tonight, we got stuff to tell you about, and so much more.
Because we have stuff. We have a lot of stuff that we have to talk about. Well, I mean, not a lot, but we have stuff. And there's football. I mean, right now, the Chiefs, they're whooping up on the Broncos. It's 20-6, third quarter. Something tells me the Broncos aren't going to come back, but we'll see. Maybe. And we have news, notes, NXT, and we are talking the WWE draft. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it has completed, and we're going to give you the full breakdown, including some of the wackiness that has gone on in it. And believe it or not, there actually was wackiness. They managed to get it in there. I was really rather surprised. I gotta say, but you have an announcement concerning chat, don't you?
Yes. Those who watch a show on any show on the network, whether it's us doing Fortnite, the podcast, the Rack, Super Hero, Raw Post Show, or even WTR Sunday, you see down at the bottom, there's a little thing called channel points. Well, here's the thing. You can earn channel points. What do they do? Well, that's what we're going to figure out. The reward points. You can earn things. If you're not a subscriber, you can earn an emote. If you want to spend it on highlighting a message, we always will see your message. We can do that. We can come up with our own little rewards for getting points. I don't have rewards yet. We're working on it. I legit found out about this 2 hours ago. So, there you go. So, earn your points.
Oh, that was lucky.
It was.
Oh, that was so lucky.
So the goal is earn your points now. I will say this. Those points will get reset at some point, and then you'll have to earn them again. Because this is early access. Okay?
It's in beta, y'all. It's in beta.
It's in early access, they're saying. So we're going to add some features and do some stuff. I don't know. We'll come up with some random things or whatever. And if you have any ideas for what you want as rewards... from time to time, you will see down below by the channel points, like a gift box that pops up. You click that, you get extra points. So every once in a while, check the little box and see, oh, I can click more points. Yay, more points. Everyone likes points, right? Yay. Channel points. We have channel points on WTR Live.
Woohoo! For all our streaming shows.
Anyway. So that's new. So... yeah. Let's get into the news presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Awkward transition.
Awkward. And
it's a good transition because we have to talk about the biggest story of this week, which came rather awkwardly, I'm going to say, and took a lot of people by surprise. I don't think anybody saw this one coming, at least this quickly.
This quickly.
Which is that Eric Bischoff is no longer in charge of SmackDown. He has been completely relieved of his duties and sent packing and has been replaced by none other than Bruce Pritchard. And this had nothing to do with, as far as anybody's heard, anything. Like, I don't even think there's been an official reason given. Has there?
No. Eric Bischoff was let go on Monday. Vince McMahon made the decision to let him go. And they put Bruce Pritchard in charge of SmackDown, who's been sort of overseeing things for the last couple weeks anyhow. So now he'll have more influence on things. You knew going in, Bruce was going to get some power, and he sort of worked his way up and everything like that. But to take out Bischoff,
that's a big move.
Maybe. Because here's the deal. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of talk that Eric Bischoff was brought in to placate stockholders to put their mind to ease that everything's going to be fine. So he was a stockholder hire, and he's just sort of, he was there, but never kind of acclimated to doing things in the WWE corporate structure, and his ideas never really made TV. I don't know if he ever contributed much. That's his story to tell at some point, which he probably will. He's booked for StarCast, so imagine that will be a topic, or on his podcast.
I'm sure at some point the story is going to come out. Not right now. I would suspect that probably there might be an NDA involved for right now.
Okay.
Maybe.
There may be. And there's... You cannot... Okay, I gotta squash this, because that is the dumbest thing in the world, okay? And LeMans brought it up in chat. And this is the dumbest thing. Oh my god, he was the scapegoat for the ratings dropping over on SmackDown. Yeah, you're right. It was 2 weeks. 1 week, you had the most electrifying man in all of entertainment opening up your show, and it was the Full Force premiere.
Yeah, I mean, SmackDown's ratings were going to drop no matter what. Because they literally stacked the show on SmackDown for the very first week on Fox, for the debut on Fox, with everybody they could get.
So, he was... They're not blaming him for ratings. Because it was not his job. If 6 months from now, there were 1.4 million viewers on Fox, then it's a scapegoat for the viewer droppage. Week number two, whoever is spreading that stupid rumor about scapegoating is stupid.
Yeah, they don't fire you 2 weeks in. Unless, the only way they would do that for a ratings drop is if it went from a 3, almost 4 million viewer count to probably a 300,000, 400,000 viewer count in a week. Like, if you did that, yeah, absolutely, I could see that happening. But as long as you, or even less than that, I think for 300,000 or 400,000, they might, like, slap you on the wrist and basically be like, WTF. But anything lower than that, oh yeah, you'd be gone. But Fox knew, WWE knew, Bischoff knew, everybody involved with that knew that the very next week the rating was going to drop because you didn't have the star power on the show. You brought in The Rock.
And here's the thing.
First week.
They did. And the demo, the number that matters, the overall numbers do not matter. Are they good? Yes. But Fox wants one thing and one thing only from WWE, and it's to keep the demo number and to win the demo. They won the demo on Friday night.
That's all they have to do. And I mean, here's the thing. NXT dropped after their debut. AEW dropped after their debut. So it's like, let's just, everybody calm down about it. It's not that. This is unfortunate. I feel really bad for Bischoff. And the reason why, because I can empathize with him, is he picked up his entire life in Montana and moved it to Connecticut.
But he was only renting an apartment. He still has his home in
Wyoming. I know that. I know that, but that's a long drive.
It is.
That's a really long trek. So now he's got to go back. And I don't know if everything had fully come. I'm not sure. But yeah, it sucks. It's unfortunate. And we'll see what Pritchard does with it. Because now Pritchard's in the hot seat. Like he apparently wanted to get hold of this. Or somebody wanted him to have it. Or it was a joint effort on both parts. And now he's got it.
Bruce is a Vince guy. And it'll be fine. Like,
it'll be fine, but it's like, look, you got hold of the A show, dude. You got to put out an A product. That's the thing. Like, you have to perform. And I have little doubt he will. Like, you don't get into that position by having a crap track record. But at the same time, it's like, that's a really precarious job to be in. Because as much as you want it, there are a lot of other people that want to get hold of it. And if you don't perform, guess what? It's not going to be, oh, well, you're a Vince guy. It's okay. We're going to limp you along. They're going to be like, no, you either need to fix it or you need to get out. Mm-hmm. You have this much time to do it.
And here's one other thing that needs to be mentioned. The real thing with SmackDown, the direction of SmackDown, starts tomorrow. Ratings didn't matter for week one and week two. They were great, but everything starts tomorrow. Why? Because you have a new roster. You have the full roster that you're using, and you're going to go forward. Okay? So tomorrow starts day one of whatever the new era is. So there's that. Couple other things, really quick, regarding SmackDown. This week, SmackDown will be on Fox. You're hearing it here first because no one else on the internet has looked at their TV guide yet. So here's a Rack exclusive. SmackDown on the 25th. Will be on FS1 at 8 p.m. I mentioned that on Twitter 3 days ago. So,
because
baseball. Which everyone knew they were going to get preempted one night. The 25th is the night. People are wondering, when are they going to do a SmackDown? I don't know. Go look at your TV guide. I did. I saw where it moved to. There's your breaking news exclusive right here on the Rack. Ya yeet dap.
Such a dick, I swear to
what?
God.
What? It's true. Because tomorrow, people are going to be like, oh my God, when's SmackDown on next week? They're going to probably tell you on the TV show and then everyone's going to report it. You heard it here first. Boom. Move on.
Anyway. Shotzi Blackheart signed a WWE developmental deal. I don't even know where to go with this. Like, how do I follow that?
With that, she denied it at first and then they did made a big deal out of Evolve and then she signed her developmental deal with William Regal in the ring. So she's a part of the WWE PC system. Congrats to her. You know who won't be in the WWE PC developmental system right now?
Mike Kanellis.
Why is that?
Well, it seems Mike has had a change of heart despite signing his new contract back in June. And he has asked for his release from the company. He said that he's not happy and he's coming home frustrated and upset. And now that he's clean and sober, he wants to go back out on the indies and work back out on the indies and really enjoy it because there's things that he wants to do there. And, you know, he thought coming to WWE would be give him all the opportunity in the world, and it didn't.
He wants to wrestle. Flat out, he wants to wrestle every single week. He's tired of not being booked on the house shows. He's tired of not wrestling on TV. He wants to wrestle. He's in his physical prime, so he wants to go out there and wrestle. And I don't blame him. Did he make the wrong move signing and then backtracking? Yeah, but he was thinking ahead for his family.
Yeah, it's kind of an awkward situation for him because it's like he and Maria are both under contract separately. And she got pregnant again, and it's like your deal's coming up. What do you do? And it's like for the stability and security of your family, you sign it because you want the money, right? You need the money to ensure that your wife's going to have a healthy delivery of your child, that your other child is going to be taken care of, that everybody's good, that you can continue the life that you are wanting for yourself and your family. And unfortunately, with that comes basically sitting on your butt most of the time and doing nothing, which is not what he wants to do. And I can completely respect that. It's got to be hard for him because his gimmick is tied so closely to hers, and that's part of the problem. Is it's a duo. It's not a single act. It's a duo, and they've tried to make it work with her being pregnant, but there's only so much she can do and he can do with her being pregnant. So it's awkward at best.
That started his growth when he came in. He came in with the House of Fire, with them, the two of them did, and then she found out she was pregnant, and that kind of squashed the idea, so he became back burner talent. While he's good in the ring, they never saw him as the superior talent without her. Whether that's good or bad, that's just how it is. So it's like he's been in limbo for 2 years. He wants to get out there and wrestle, and he'll have the opportunity to do so if they grant him his release. He can work in the UK, he can work in Japan, he can become elite, whatever you want to call, you mean he can go do things. So
yeah, and there's no word on if he's going to be released or not. They may try to work it out. They may try to find something else for him. But again, it's like, it's just hard when your gimmick is tied to your wife. The other thing that didn't help him is he did end up having to go to rehab pretty much
He rehabbed himself. He never physically went to a rehab. He rehabbed himself.
Still, he had to take time to take care of himself, which they don't blame him for. I don't blame him for. Nobody does. But that probably hurt him as well a little bit, just because he was gone for so long that it just, they could never, that place that they had for him and that story that they had for him just kind of went out the window because of timing and everything else. So it's just, it's unfortunate. And I'm sorry if they do let him go, because he's a wonderful talent. He's amazing in the ring, but he'll go on. He'll have a wonderful career outside of WWE if they let him go. They may not. I mean, that's the flip side of this, is they're not letting anybody out of their contracts right now. If it expires,
that's one thing, but if not, but it all depends what value they see in them. If they don't see value in them, they'll let them go.
But it's tricky, because I think it's Hunter that's over talent now.
He's the executive, whatever, VP of talent relations or whatever his title is.
Yeah. So it's tricky. It's really tricky, because I bet Hunter sees something in him, but it's getting everybody else to see something in him. That's the problem. But I don't know. It's a difficult situation all the way around. We'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we have an update on WWE 2K20. The Originals pack and Bump of the Night, which is also basically the pre-order bonus. So this is your whole pre-order deal. It's going to not be released with the game, basically, which is a little annoying. I'm not going to lie. It was like we had a whole plan for this, especially for freaking Halloween, because I'm not gonna be here on Halloween.
Breaking news, Chad. We're not doing a lot. We're not doing the rack on Thursday night, but they'll be Fortnite with friends. So be aware.
Yeah, the spooktacular this year is going to be Fortnite with friends, because I have to travel for work again. I'm sorry. This is the last one for a while. I promise.
Yeah.
This is it.
We'll be live the Halloween night, but this show will not be.
Yeah, and we don't know what time yet.
We haven't figured any of those details out. Anyway,
We'll get there.
But yeah,
anyway,
but Bumpin' the Night has been delayed 6 days after release.
Yeah, so that's coming out October 28th at midnight Eastern Time.
Mm-hmm. So it is what it is. Whatever. We'll get more into 2K next week.
And just to update everybody, in case you live under a rock, in case you don't play video games, whatever, if you're not interested, fine. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we have escaped the black hole in Fortnite, and a new map has been launched. Just to tease everybody, we are going to be playing Fortnite with friends tonight. The whole squad's going to be here at some point. And we're going to run around the map, and we're going to show you all the new things that Fortnite has released, because they completely redid the game for Chapter 2, and it's gorgeous. So well, you'll get to see that later.
Most of the squad. One of them's not going to be here.
He may show up eventually.
Maybe. We'll see.
Maybe.
We'll see. Speaking of him, we should do his segment.
Yeah, he hurt people this week.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
In a rather unfortunate turn of events, Kushida broke his wrist.
Hashtag blame Brent.
It was in the match with Walter.
Damn it, Walter.
Hairline fracture in his wrist.
This is why we can't have nice things. This is so why we can't have nice things. And then Luchasaurus, unfortunately, tore his hamstring.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He'll be out a few months.
So, I do like how they worked the broken wrist for Kushida into the NXT show this week.
But we have one other blame Brent we have to mention.
We do.
Patrick Mahomes dislocated the kneecap.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Ow.
Happened tonight. So, there's that.
Yay! Woohoo!
Football.
Alrighty, so, well, speaking of football has a draft. And you know who else had a draft? WWE. And now, we're going to break down the WWE draft.
Woohoo! Okay.
So I thought you would have had a sounder. Apparently not.
No, I didn't have a sounder for the draft. Sorry.
Slacker.
Hold on, I'll go find something. Anyway. Here, we'll do this. MLB is on Fox Sports 1. So there you go. So, we're here to talk the NFL, the WWE's version of the NFL draft, or any other draft, that took place over two nights and after many other days. Because they've been making moves, and there was even a blockbuster trade.
Which was not so blockbuster, because from what I understand, they didn't really trade them for anybody in particular. And I kind of want to talk about that, because the way that they did that whole deal was a little shenanigan-y, I guess.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
So we're going to break it down, starting on Friday Night SmackDown, round one.
Round one.
Night one. The first pick in the WWE draft is contested. Charlotte and Becky Lynch have a fight to determine who gets the first draft pick. And tradition continues because Monday Night Raw gets the first draft pick. Y'all thought I was nuts. I was right. In no surprise to anybody, Becky Lynch is not only the first draft pick, but she's also the first superstar to go to Monday Night Raw and the Raw Women's title. Stays with her and on Raw.
Okay, I need to correct you. The Becky Charlotte match was Raw, not for SmackDown. SmackDown match, the coin flip match, was Roman versus Seth, where Seth Rollins got taken to hell by the Fiend.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
By the Fiend.
Yeah, it was a little weird. That was a little weird. I want to talk about that too later.
Talk about it now. Let's talk about it right now, because that's where we're at.
Okay, this has nothing to do with the draft.
It does.
This is... But everything to do with Crown Jewel.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go off about that, and then we'll get back to the draft. But why the hell, especially now that the trade has been made, why the hell are we having a SmackDown guy face the Raw guy for the Raw Championship in a match where there's no DQs anywhere in that whole thing? Like, why are we doing this? Why? Why are you making the Fiend lose? Why? I need to know. Because that's what's going to happen. Unless somehow Bray Wyatt wins the Raw title and they're forced to trade Bray Wyatt to Raw until he loses that title.
That may be a thing.
That could be a thing. But again, I do not understand. I do not understand what's going on there. Like, what? What? Because part of this was they're like, oh, we're going to do a blockbuster trade between the two shows. And it's like, oh, okay, well, maybe they're going to trade Bray back to Raw. Because that would make sense because he's facing Seth. Nope. That didn't happen. They traded Alexa and Nikki, who were drafted separately. So not only did you burn two draft picks with Alexa and Nikki because they were drafted separately, you burn the trade, and you traded Alexa and Nikki for nobody in particular? Who did they get traded for?
Future considerations and draft picks. Yep, we went there. Future considerations.
What?
Okay. I know, because I talked about this on Twitter. Anything involving The Fiend and Seth Rollins are dark matches. Brock Lesnar versus Kofi Kingston is being advertised for a dark match here in Philly. Do you really think that's happening? Moving on.
Yeah, The Fiend is lost by DQ every match that he does on a dark match, because you want your champion to go over at house shows.
Yeah.
That's how that goes, or if it's on TV, that's how that goes. But the difference is Bray's losing by DQ. He's holding the mandible claw on too long. There's a difference between that and what they did at Hell in a Cell, and God knows what they're going to do at Crown Jewel.
And but maybe by that time he'll be the champion, and it doesn't matter. So, there's that.
I doubt it.
We'll find out. We got time to talk about it.
Actually, I just had to let that out, because it's like it makes no sense.
Actually, next week we're talking about it.
Anyway.
Back to the draft.
Back to the draft. Round one, night one, SmackDown. SmackDown, no surprise to anybody, takes Roman Reigns as their number one draft pick.
I'm going to cut you off really quick. So last week we did this whole preview of the draft. Mm-hmm. The first two rounds went exactly as written from WWE.com. So continue.
Yeah, so basically they released their draft order by mistake.
For SmackDown, not for Raw, but for SmackDown.
Yeah, so I'm just going to kind of go through these really quickly. So Raw kind of got a triple deal here because they were able to take the OC. So they got Styles and Gallows and Anderson as a group. So they got a threefer. Good for them. SmackDown takes The Fiend Bray Wyatt, which that makes what happened at Hell in a Cell okay. That's fine, because it makes sense now why they did what they did, even though it was still really stupid. It makes sense why you can't have Bray Wyatt getting traded to SmackDown and having the Raw title. That doesn't work.
It doesn't make sense, but he needs to go back to Raw because he needs to get away from someone who was drafted here. Anyway, continue moving on.
Yeah. And in the last pick of round one, you have Drew McIntyre going to Raw or staying at Raw. I'm not sure where. What? I don't even know what show he's on. Show was he on?
I think he was on Raw, but he was with Shane, so he was always jumping. So anyway, round number two had Raw had Randy Orton, Sasha went to SmackDown, Ricochet went to Raw, Braun Strowman went to SmackDown, and Bobby Lashley went to Monday Night Raw.
With Lana.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Round number three saw Alexa Bliss go to Raw. For now, Lacey Evans went to SmackDown. Kevin Owens, who was not happy about being drafted in the third round, went to Monday Night Raw. The Revival stay as SmackDown Tag Team Champions on SmackDown. And Natalya goes to Monday Night Raw in round number three. Round number four had the Viking Raiders going to Raw. SmackDown getting the Lucha House Party. Nikki Cross, at this point, going to Monday Night Raw. Heavy Machinery goes to SmackDown. And the Street Profits come to Monday Night Raw.
Which was a little surprising. It is and it isn't. Because they've been having them up on the main roster now for a while, but I thought for a second they might be staying down in NXT, but apparently not.
They're having their final run of house shows this coming weekend. Yeah, I think it's this weekend. So, there you go.
So, this whole night wasn't an overall surprise, mainly because we knew the draft order. Mm-hmm. So, there were a lot of really good picks in this. For the most part, people went where they needed to go. I think there were some exceptions.
All right, we'll break it down. Let's go through Raw really quick, the night two, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay. All right. Night two, this is where Becky and Charlotte fought. Raw, again, gets the first pick. No surprise. They take Seth Rollins, who gets to keep the title, gets to stay on his show. SmackDown, no surprise, takes Brock Lesnar. He gets to keep his title. He gets to stay on the show. In the actual surprise of the night, Raw took Charlotte Flair, so Charlotte and Becky gets to stay together. SmackDown's taking New Day, and Raw is keeping Andrade with Selena.
Shocker, Andrade's on the same show as Charlotte. Shocker.
And in no surprise, round two, Aleister Black also goes to Raw.
Yeah.
So they're keeping people together, that's good. Keep the married people together.
The Kubaki Warriors went to Raw in round two. Daniel Bryan went to SmackDown. Rusev came to Raw. Bayley stays on SmackDown as she's the champion with her now short hair. And Aleister Black, as Lindsay mentioned, goes to Monday Night Raw. Bayley is the heel. That's a thing.
I'm not sure I'm crazy about the hair.
It's too dark.
It's the way that it was laying, I think, because they had just cut it that day. Or they had just cut it in the last, like, 2 days before she showed up. It just, it wasn't, it was laying weird. Like, she, it just was, it, I'm sorry. I don't mean to say this in a negative way, but I don't know how else to describe it. It looked like a football helmet.
It did.
And that's not to, like, bash anybody or diss anybody, but that's just what it looked like. And it looks weird.
It did.
To me. I mean, it's like, it just doesn't suit her face, and it ages her.
It did age her.
Which is the point, but it ages her, I think, too much.
It did age her a little bit. Laying the hair up, it might bring back the age. Round number 3 had Cedric Alexander on Raw. SmackDown got Shinsuke. Humberto Carrillo went to Raw. Ali stays on SmackDown. And Eric Rowan goes to Monday Night Raw.
So, all right, they're keeping Eric and Bray apart.
For now.
For now.
Round number 4 had Buddy Murphy going to Raw. SmackDown got Dolph Ziggler and Robert Roode. Jinder Mahal went to Monday Night Raw whenever he recovers. Carmella goes to SmackDown. Shocker, Corey Graves. And R-Truth goes to Monday Night Raw.
With the 24/7 championship.
SmackDown, or round number 5, saw Raw getting Samoa Joe, who's out injured. Miz went to SmackDown. A little surprised by that one. Akira Tozawa goes to Raw. King Corbin goes to SmackDown. And Shelton Benjamin comes to Monday Night Raw. And in round number 6, go ahead.
The Miz always does better on SmackDown.
He does, but he has a USA Network show, so that was a little confusing. At round number 6, Rey Mysterio goes to Raw. Shorty Gable goes to SmackDown.
Can we please give him his first name back? His name is Chad. What is this Shorty Gable crap? It's so demeaning. Just give him his first name. Seriously.
Titus Worldwide goes to Monday Night Raw. Elias walks on SmackDown. And Liv Morgan eventually will debut on Monday Night Raw.
I didn't think she was draftable.
She was. She was. So this left a lot of people undrafted.
It did. And the women kind of got the short end of the stick on this one because a lot of women were not drafted. You had a lot of male superstars not drafted. I mean, on the bump announcements, where it was basically like the supplemental draft after the fact, you had Noé José, Mojo Rawley, Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, and Sarah Logan all drafted to Monday Night Raw. And Luke Harper, we finally know what's going on with him. Cesaro, Drake Maverick, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, and Dana Brooke all heading to Friday Night SmackDown. So they've officially split Eric and Luke, but they're keeping Luke semi-close to Bray.
Yeah, I mean, I thought there were other free agent announcements, but I guess that's it.
And now, anybody undrafted, anybody on the IR list, they're all free agents. So they can come to TV at some point. And I kind of had a thought about the free agents for a while.
Hold on 1 second. AOP is with Monday Night Raw.
Yes, they got drafted as well.
They got drafted. They got
on the list.
Right. God, and we're pulling this from WWE.com.
Legit. We're on their website, and AOP's not on the supplemental draft list. That's weird. But, I mean, it's like you could use people in free agency status kind of back and forth, at least for the little while until you finally get everybody settled. But if you kind of need someone to go back and forth for a minute, you can. And what I mean by back and forth is they're not necessarily in a major storyline, but if you need somebody, they're there. Kind of thing. And that could be what's going on. Is they're just trying to figure that out with other people.
Let's see. Sin Cara is on Raw. Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins are on Raw. Let's see. Yeah, Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder are on that list. Trying to see. EC3. Eric Young are on Raw.
Yeah, I was surprised they found Eric Young.
Mm-hmm. Because he appeared on Monday. Going through another list because it's just, you know, WWE did a great job of putting this together. Drew Gulak's on SmackDown. Heath Slater's on SmackDown. Tamina's on SmackDown. So there you go. And the B-Team's on SmackDown.
B-Team, B-Team, go, go, go. I don't know. Anyway, I think it was an overall good draft. I liked how they did it this go-round. You had Stephanie sort of playing the Roger Goodell role. She had a very minimized part in it, and I liked the cutaways that they did for all the personalities and the people in the draft rooms. Although some of them were a little quirky, like who was it that got drafted and it was like they threw confetti for it and it was a really, I don't mean this negatively, but a more minor player.
Mm, I forget who it was, but yeah, they
threw confetti and I was like, oh, that's nice. That's nice. He got confetti. But yeah, for a second, it's like for the Raw one, I was sitting there and I was watching it and I was like, why is there a peacock on the laptop? And then Rock's like, NBC. It's like, right.
Okay, so out of all this, breaking it all down, SmackDown got some big stars, like you figured they would. It was interesting. I thought Becky or Charlotte would stay on SmackDown to be the top face of the brand, you know, the top woman face of the brand. They elected to go with Bayley and Sasha, which is a good move. I'm not, nothing to take away from it. So they're going to build them as the top tier talent in the women's division. And you have Alexa as well now, like, since she moved over. When it comes to Raw, I think Andrade's in a good position. I think they built, once they get past everything, I think you got Aleister Black and Andrade and, Andrade, Aleister Black, Ricochet. You're going to build a nice core group with, you know, AJ Styles, Seth Rollins. They're the more athletic type talent who can have really good matches. You had Samoa Joe in there. I think Raw, in the end, will have the better crop of talent in terms of match quality, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Then SmackDown will. SmackDown has the big guys. They have Braun. They have Brock. They have Bray. They're going to have Kane Velasquez, probably. You got the bigger guys on that show. So you're going to have interesting type of main events with them in it. So I think Raw, in that sense, made out better than SmackDown. Even though SmackDown has, quote-unquote, bigger names, the better matches will happen on Raw.
I feel like they've taken the talent that's going to honestly suit the individual show the best. That's really how what this feels like. I think the exception might be Bray. I still say Bray would be better with Heyman on SmackDown, but we'll see what Pritchard does with him. But
Bruce may just let Bray go.
Yeah, they may just let Bray go on this one and just let him psychotic little bastard do whatever he wants.
Let him just do what he wants, yeah.
Within reason. It's probably like, no murder, no profanity, go. Would you let me say hell?
So,
no profanity. No go.
Go. Yeah. So I think that will work for Raw. I think you had Randy in there and what have you. So you got a good group of.
You have a nice balance between the two shows. That's the one thing that I feel like is coming out of this, is because normally with the draft that we usually see is somebody gets shafted. It's generally SmackDown. They get shafted really, really, really hard for talent because they always front load one of the shows with all the really good talent, and then the other show suffers. And actually, technically, both shows suffer.
This show feels like Raw feels like SmackDown of 2002, where you have the younger athletic talent ready to break out. And with Paul Heyman guiding the ship, this will allow them to do that.
Oh, 100%. Absolutely.
And then, when it comes to SmackDown, you got Daniel Bryan, you got the Brocks, and you have different style of talent. It will be interesting to see how people are elevated. Okay, here's my problem with this whole thing. I have a big problem with this whole thing. And Lindsay knows this. Bray Wyatt got the shaft.
Yeah.
He would have worked better on Raw. So hopefully he goes back to Raw. Here's why he got the shaft. Chat goes, why? I don't want to show how he fits on Fox. He fits perfectly on Fox because Fox also airs sports and they have drama. So the drama portion of it with Bray works. His character works. They really wanted him. And that's fine. You put Bray in a position to go after Seth Rollins and for the championship. And he has not accomplished that goal. And if he somehow doesn't at Crown Jewel, which I assume he will, but if he doesn't, you've slowed his progress. Now, if they find a convoluted way to not put the title on him and have him win, then we're there. Okay? Whatever. But Brock Lesnar's on this show. Roman Reigns is on this show. Bray Wyatt as a character should not go over Brock Lesnar because, in terms of star power, Bray's not on Brock's level mainstream. Can he get there one day? Maybe. Who knows? Because Brock's UFC and everything like that, he became a mainstream talent. So Brock's always going to be priority number one, no matter where he goes. And if the idea is to put the title on Brock for a while and then maybe go to Kane or whatever and then eventually go to Roman, you've now put Bray in a position where he's struggling because Bray can only get to a certain point before he's leveled off. Him winning a championship is key for this character to finally cement him as a top tier. He may be the most over thing in the company right now, but you have to give him the strap and let that rocket go until the fuse burns out. And I think there's too many hurdles on SmackDown for it.
Yeah, they had him ready to go on Raw, and I think that's what was really really, truly disappointing about Hell in a Cell. We talked about this when we talked about the pay-per-view, but just to kind of reiterate it, he was there. Like, he was ready. Everybody wanted it. He wanted it. I think Seth wanted it. Like, everybody involved, with the exception of the higher-ups in WWE and possibly at the networks, everybody else was on board for this. And they did it perfectly. They got him to the right place perfectly. And then they just, like, completely, totally went off the rails with it. And I disagree that he needs a title. I think he could be incredibly dominant and not have a title right away, or not have a title for a while. But the trick is, it's very hard to have him be completely dominant with Cain Velasquez, Brock Lesnar, and Roman Reigns on that show. Because those, like you said, those are your top dogs, and they have to be the ones that are truly dominant. And then there's Bray over here, who's kind of doing his thing, and it's like, if he's not going after the top three, who is he going after? Because it doesn't have the sense, it doesn't make sense for the Fiend to be going after, you know, I don't even know who's on SmackDown that he could go after.
Braun.
I mean, Braun would work. Braun would be okay. He could do Daniel Bryan. The Miz would be a little. The Miz wouldn't work. Corbin wouldn't work. Gable wouldn't work. Elias wouldn't work. I mean, it's like, you need to have him up against an opponent where the sneak attack of the Fiend makes sense. And there's people on his level that it will work with, but what happens when he burns through those people? Where do you go next? I mean, eventually you have to point him at the title.
And that's the problem, because if they never put him up against Seth Rollins, then this wouldn't be an issue, because he could just mosey on his way up the card. But they hot-shotted him up the card, because that's where he was slotted on Monday Night Raw. If they never did that, and he's still defeating people over and over again, then we wouldn't have a problem. But here we are.
Unfortunately. But, I mean, what do you guys think out there? You know, tweet us at Wild Talk Radio. What are your draft thoughts? How do you think it did? Chat, what are your thoughts on it? Do you think it went okay? Do you think it went not okay?
I know a lot of people thought the segments were cheesy that they did, and some of them were, but guess what?
They were entertaining.
They were 60-second bits that didn't matter. I know the war rooms were kind of stupid, but guess what? They wanted to make it feel like Fox and SmackDown, Fox and USA were part of it, and that's what they did. So it is what it is.
I don't think they had 100% say over that, but they tried to make it seem important. They tried to make it a really big deal, and honestly, they did try to make it feel like a legit draft, which they've tried to do that in past years and they haven't pulled it off. I feel like this was the most successful attempt that they've had in a really long time. I know the segments were cheesy, but they were meant to be cheesy. It's all marketing. There's a whole thing behind this that it's like, you have all the Fox and all the NBC personalities on there, and you're cross promoting everything with everybody. And you're really putting it out there, because what you're doing is, it's like, oh, hey, Troy Aikman's going to be on Monday Night Raw. He's only going to be on Monday Night Raw for maybe 5 seconds, but he's going to be on Raw. People may tune in to see Troy Aikman. I don't know if they will or not, but it's stuff like that, where it's like, you're trying to bring in another set of eyes, a new audience to the show that, hey, maybe they don't normally watch wrestling, but they want to see this personality, or they want to see this celebrity, or they want to see this, or they want to see that. That's what they were really trying to do with it.
And some of those ideas were, you have to keep your partners happy, and you're using everything you did with the Fox people, specifically, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the NFL, with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman and the Fox, all the Fox crew, was you're promoting the Fox brand. And that's what they really wanted. They don't care. Mm-hmm. They got the baseball and the soccer and the football brands out there to a different audience. That's all it was. It's cross promotion. You see it everywhere.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, here's the deal: when Fox and NBC are paying as much money as they are for this, they get whatever the hell they want, and we just have to deal with it. That's legit.
It is. But I say we take our first and only time out of the evening.
I agree. So we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be doing all your favorites, Tweet of the Week, NXT.
That's it.
And that's it. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/RackRadioShow. Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Angelina Love, your 6-time knockout champion and the sacred seductress, and you are doing the right thing because you are listening to the Rack Radio Show.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to have a Twitch Prime sub available and you'd like to use it here, we'll just click the little purple button up at the top and you can go ahead and subscribe. That goes for regular subscribers too, just in case you'd like to do that as well. But if not, that's okay. That's fine too. But we'd really like you to subscribe. And well, we're gonna take a little break after the break and we're going to have some fun and do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. Cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty, Jordan Devlin. Underrated golden moment in OTT wrestling history. That one time when Trent Seven got shoot pedigreed into the very Earth's crust. Laughing crying emoji, hashtag break it down. And Trent Seven replies, let's not lie. There's a case for assault. Poor Trent. That wasn't nice. In response to the Fortnite event, Jordan Fisher goes, hey guys, so I'm not feeling too good, Mr. Stark. Dr. Lupo, if this tweet gets 100k likes, I'll tell you what I know about Fortnite. This is after the black hole. This was in the 2 days of madness where everybody lost their shit because Fortnite was down and we were just staring at a black hole. This was the weirdest 2 days. Sunday and Monday, that were just like, I don't even know. I don't even know how to describe them to people that don't play Fortnite. It was just weird.
More people watch the black hole than actually watch Fortnite. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. It's messed up.
It was nuts. Nuts, I tell you, nuts.
High distortion. Just saying, Matthew McConaughey could easily solve this Fortnite thing. Dr. Lupo's chair. All these people are upset that they are staring at a black hole. How do you think I feel? That's been my gaming life for years. Dr. Lupo replies, this is an underrated tweet, because it is. Pope Francis. Today, we give thanks to the Lord for our new hashtag saints. So he hashtagged the football team. They walk by faith and now we invoke their intercession. I don't think he meant to hashtag the football team. But the New Orleans Saints reply, couldn't lose after this. Hashtag blessed and highly favored. The Pope blessed the New Orleans Saints. Oh, God.
It's a thing.
Gritty. I did everything I could. Running still sucks. Hashtag gritty5k.
Is that it?
And apparently there was a lot of chafing, police, and ointment.
Okay, then.
That's all I got.
All I got. Courage JD, Lord of the Ring greater than Star Wars, Harry Potter greater than Star Wars, all Marvel movies greater than Star Wars, Dark Knight Trilogy greater than Star Wars, and the Transformers greater than Star Wars. Dr. Lupo, at Twitter, please handle this account. It appears to have been given to a child. Ninja. Courage. Ben, I'm only tweeting facts. Dr. Lupo, at Twitter, it's worse than we thought. He's also delusional. Please send help ASAP. Ninja, I don't trust anyone who uses the middle urinal in a pack of three. You literally are asking to pee directly next to someone. Use an end, man. 72 hours. Agreed. Always confused me, especially when you and I could always just share the middle one. 100. Hashtag friendship. Dr. Lubo, middle urinal is the alpha position. You're claiming all three spots by taking the middle one first.
I mean, by logic, that's not a lie.
That's not a lie. Trey Wingo, apparently the Bears haven't cleared customs yet because they've yet to show up. They were getting killed early in their game. So WWE and Fox said, tomorrow we say goodbye to the WWE, say goodbye to the wildcard rule. Brian Gerwitz replied, yes, brand split forever. Ratings dip 0.1. Hello, Friday night free-for-all. Monday night mishmash, random reality, dual brand do-over, cross brand chaos, power play pop-in, double net doink, where stars can appear only on any show provided they dress as doink. kidding.
Kind of. Okay, but the doing thing, that's
the best
really
one.
No, not
no, that's
a bad
the,
idea.
That's the greatest idea of them all. Everyone needs to be a doing. Needs to be.
I mean, this thought popped in my head. Think of what psychotic version Bray Wyatt would do if he had addressed as doink.
Mm-hmm. Kind of like Slasher, the competitive Fortnite community complained so much, Epic vaulted the entire game.
I mean, not a lie.
It really isn't. Mina Kimes, stop complaining about the Washington sports teams. The Mystics are amazing. The Capitals are talented. The Redskins. The Nationals are inspiring. See what she did there?
Yep.
Yeah. Entity Wall, for the first 10 hours without Fortnite, experienced some hallucinations here and there, occasional cracking motions with my arm, and some call-outs to people in my Discord call. So far, it hasn't been too bad. I hope it doesn't get worse than this. Courage. It's been 20 hours without Fortnite. I've learned 4 different languages, solved the gravity relativity theory, discovered a cure for multiple diseases, lost 8 more pounds, and went outside and got a tan. Please bring back Fortnite. I'm losing my true self.
Now, I have to respond to that.
Okay.
By saying y'all couldn't be bothered to play it for like a month, and rightfully so, but y'all had a month without it. You could have spent this whole time with it, and they sucked the game into a black hole, and now suddenly all y'all are crying.
Mm-hmm.
Or you were crying. Just saying. Any truers, you could have played it the whole time.
Any truers. So, Deadline Hollywood tweets, Jonah Hill no longer circling the Batman. Bray Wyatt, at Deadline, sign me up. I got this. Is Bray Wyatt signing up to be a part of Batman? The Batman villain? Maybe?
It would be interesting.
It would be. But that's Sweet Week. NXT?
NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
This was a pretty solid show. Had some good wrestling. And it saw the return of Tommaso Ciampa into the ring, where he defeated Angel Garza.
And no surprise to anybody, but that's okay, because... Welcome back, Tommaso. We have missed you so much.
A couple interesting things. He was not wearing his knee braces. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Following the matchup, Undisputed Era came out. They all surrounded him. He got his crutch back. And then Undisputed Era walked over and handed Mauro a USB drive that we need to take a look at. So we'll get to that here in a moment. As we do when we come back, it was footage of the Velveteen Dream beat up in a parking lot, and then you heard Undisputed yelling at him, and it was all about the penis.
Oh dear. I believe this resulted in William Regal getting very, very mad at Roderick Strong.
He did, because he took out Velveteen Dream, who was supposed to have a title match next week, but he'll be out for a brief period. It looks like he's actually hurt, so no word on what the injury actually is. The Imperiums, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel, took on Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. Pretty good match, with the Imperium getting the win.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty solid.
Io Shirai beat Kayden Carter. She also then set her sights on Shayna Baszler.
Yes,
but Rhea was like, nah, I got Bianca, then I'm getting Shayna, you're going to have to wait. Give me Io, give me Rhea.
Fight it out.
We need that as a match. Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic
had another great match.
They did have another great match that ended in a no contest when Roderick Strong interfered because he did not want to fight either man. Because Regal announced with the Dream mount that the winner of this match would get the title shot. So, well, he said, you're strong, you're clever, and you're a sunshine, man. But, you're defending against both men next week.
This is why you don't make Uncle William mad.
Matt Riddle defeated Bronson Reed. Saw a little match.
Mm-hmm.
Tegan Knox defeated Tanara, no longer Conti. Saw a match. Good win for Tegan, she's looking better and better every week.
Yeah, she's come back super strong, 110%. So happy to see her back and okay. So she's getting herself back on track really quickly.
Dakota came out, they hugged. Shayna Baszler and the Horsewoman came out. Baszler said she assumed that Knox wants to throw her name in the hat for title contention. Baszler said to ask Dakota what it's like to be in the ring with Shayna. Shayna said that Knox is running out of limbs to get repaired. Tegan and Baszler went back and forth, and while she wants a title shot, Baszler said that she hasn't earned it and asked Knox to come back when she does something to earn attention. Oh no, I have bad feelings about that.
But we'll dear, bad things are going to happen.
We'll see. Killian Dane defeated Boa, but the bigger story was after the matchup, Killian Dane got, well, his finger snaps by Pete Dunne. Interesting.
Pete is just out here just hurting people for funsies. I mean, I don't even know if that's true, but that seems like it's true. Like, he can't get to who he really wants. So he's like, I'm just going to come out here and snap your fingers because it looks fun.
And then in the main event, Damian Priest and Pete Dunne had a really good match. Damian getting the win.
I was a little surprised by that. Not hugely surprised, but it's like, I figured they wouldn't have given Damian a win that quick, that there would have been some kind of no contest involved in that, but I'm okay with it. This was really solid. It was really entertaining. I like the chemistry between these two. I really, really do, because they both have actually a really similar personality, and the fact that they just don't give a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
But Damian is just a little bit more smooth around the edges than Pete is. Like, Pete is very much that straight shooter, where Damian is just a little bit more cultured about it,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And that's the difference. But it's just, it's a really nice pairing, and I look forward to what they're going to do together. And Pete was none too happy that he lost.
No, he was not happy, so.
The Peter was not happy, so.
The Peter was not happy. But overall, good episode, solid wrestling, enjoyable show. Doesn't make my brain hurt like another show.
We're not going to talk about that. Anyway, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
Yeah, we're not talking about it.
Unless you want to rant about it, we can rant about it. But
I would say you should stay tuned to Saturday night's Midnight-ish for CB Radio. You may get a rant.
Just saying.
Because I got it all out of my system, but maybe I can poke Brandon. Maybe we'll see what happens. Midnight-ish and Jobber. That's Midnight-ish. I don't know what we're doing for the Grand and Great Debate. We'll have one, though. Saturday night, Midnight-ish, grandandgreatdebate.com. Sunday night, if they want to talk wrestling, it's Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live next Thursday night to preview Crown Jewel to have and other surprises. Because things are coming to the channel and just wrestling meets video games next week. Get it? Cool. Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, the Rack Record Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you have an Amazon Prime account, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free to twitch.tv/WTRLive. Now, this is a big thing. It's a big one. Need all your help. If you like a skin in Fortnite on Saturday, or on Sunday, use creator code ROCKETSUCK in the Fortnite item shop because it's double the amount. So do the thing. You always use the code, but use code ROCKETSUCK this weekend. It starts Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, I think. So use the code. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Yep, good.
Alrighty, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Everybody sit tight. We're going to take another break, and then we're going to go grab Omega, and we're going to explore Fortnite Season 2, or Chapter 2, Season 1. There we go. There's the official title. So, on Fortnite with friends. So till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.